I think about this again as the rhetoric is ramping up, as the misinformation has been spread again from the highest perches of power.
Yep.
And all this trickles down, not just in policy, but again, everyday life for students.
Mm-hmm.
Like I talk about the Lake Oswego work. It's not known as a very diverse place, but you know what? Work with Palestinian students there too.
Yeah.
Like it, you can see it everywhere. I remember talking with a student about just like even being afraid to say that they are Palestinian. Like this is before all of this weekend, just mm-hmm. in general, because that's the atmosphere.
This is the Bruce Poinsett Show. This is the Bruce Poinsett Show, or the world's most dangerous infomercial. I'm your host, Bruce Poinsett. Along with my producer, Ado, we bring you this weekly commentary and interview experience from the Numbers FM studio of the Portland Art Museum.
This is the best of the Bruce Poinsett Show, the world's most dangerous infomercial. I'm your host, Bruce Poinsett, and along with my producer, Ado, we bring you this weekly commentary and interview experience from the Numbers FM studio at the Portland Art Museum. You can catch the full show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Numbers FM 96.7. You can also catch clips on youtube.com/Bruce Poinsett, plus exclusive bonus content on patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett. Make sure to follow us on twitch.tv/TheNumbersFM. That's Numbers with a Z. Or the Numbers Podcast Network on thenumberspodcast.com. Again, that's Numbers with a Z, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is good, Bruce Poinsett Show family? This is Ado here. Real quick, just doing a few pre-setups before this episode. First and foremost, we just moved office here at the Numbers FM. So our camera setup is a little bit different, and my mistake, something happened with the cards and the cameras. So there's a point in the episode where it's just the logo, but the camera does return. So please stick around. This is a really important topic, and I think it's really good. What they said is still so important. We still got the audio, so please stick around for that. My apologies once again. Also, usually when it's me and Bruce in studio, I try to add a few more little funny pieces and stuff like that. This is more for my visual watchers. But this time through, I wanted to keep it kind of on topic. Again, I add like a photo here or there when I'm like talking for a long period of time, but I really wanted to just make sure that people were focusing in on what was being said. And obviously, there's a lot of visuals that are a little bit more graphic related to this topic, talking about Israel and Palestine and what's going on there right now. So based off of that, I want this to be accessible to anyone just so then you can have more information on it. Again, it's a very important topic. So that's why it's a little bit more just like you're just listening, checking in with what me and Bruce are saying. But yeah, if that's cool with y'all, please continue to watch the episode. Thank you for sitting here with me, listening, hearing me out, and enjoy the episode. Bye.
This is the Bruce Poinsett Show, the world's most dangerous infomercial. And we're here under not so pleasant circumstances, although
mm-hmm.
I'm here at Pam Cut in the new Numbers studio. Give a little pleasantries before we get into the unpleasantries. So we're recording this on October 12th, 2023. Also, it's my dad's birthday, so happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday to your dad.
But also, in the midst of war in Gaza right now. So, yep. For those who haven't been following, and again, we're recording this on the 12th, so when this goes up, things likely will have gotten catastrophically even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But over the weekend, Hamas, the leading group in Gaza, and we'll talk a little bit more about how they came together, but they are an extremist organization as far as violence and whatnot. But they launched an attack on a Israeli music festival, killing, I want to say, like 260 people. And the Israeli government, who, as people should know, is recognized, I shouldn't say recognized as an apartheid regime, but are currently occupying Palestinians, millions of people in two stretches, Gaza and the West Bank in Israel. Literally, after the attack was launched, they announced that they were cutting off water, cutting off electricity, and laying siege on, Gaza, and, where 2.6 million Palestinians live, are currently one of the most populous places, or one of the most densely populated places in the country. So current statistics as of, I think, this morning, in terms of the violence, this is according to sources, Al Jazeera, the Palestinian Ministry of Health / Gaza, the Israeli Army, and the Palestine Red Crescent Society, is at least 1,417 Palestinians dead in Gaza, at least 28 Palestinians dead in the West Bank, at least 1,300 Israelis dead. Injured, at least 6,200 Palestinians in Gaza and additional 150 in the West Bank, and 3,200 Israelis. Mm-hmm. Again, this is of as of this morning. When this goes up, is likely to be much worse and probably much more disproportionate on the end of Palestinians, because that has been the history of the conflict and the history of the occupation, which goes back about 75 years. Again, we'll come back a little bit to history in a minute, but what has also been noticeable with the violence over the weekend is let me give you some context. So I was in seventh grade when 9/11 happened. I remember an overnight shift of just like waves of Islamophobia, anti-Arab, anti-Middle Eastern, anti-Persian sentiment throughout the country. Obviously, that also led to the war on terror and hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq, Afghanistan, even Pakistan, don't have all the countries off my head that we've since put bases all throughout Africa, AFRICOM. We don't even have time to get into that offshoot of it, but hundreds of thousands dead, the Patriot Act launched here, mosques are still being spied on, even increasingly after this weekend. Again, casual anti-Arab Islamophobic sentiment throughout schools. So when I see massive misinformation and disinformation campaigns, which have spread like wildfire over the weekend, it is hard not to think about that. For example, just today, the Biden administration had to retract that they had seen photographic evidence of Hamas beheading children. I want you to just think about that for a second. We started this off talking about an attack that killed 260 people. It's pretty horrific enough. But apparently the Biden administration just took, without any evidence, word from Israeli media and the military that there was photographic evidence of Hamas beheading children, so much so that they would go ahead and say that they saw it. And now they're retracting that they didn't see it, which, for those who, if I need to spell it out, they are lying.
That is embarrassing.
And lying and fomenting violence, because a lot of people throughout social media have repeated and spread those claims, and also said, if you support the end of the occupation, the end of what the UN recognizes as an apartheid state in Palestine, that you support the beheading of babies, that you support the raping of Israeli women. That's literally what is being said. That's what is being, how people are being responded to, by just pointing out the facts of Palestine right now, the facts of Palestinians living under occupation. You are being called anti-Semitic. And there's a deep irony in this. Even the Biden administration, when they did their initial statement and their, as they put, quote unquote, clear condemnation or crystal clear condemnation of Hamas, where Joe Biden again acknowledged the Israeli civil or Israeli casualties, but for some reason, did not mention the Palestinians civilians killed which mm-hmm. rivaled those casualty numbers mm-hmm. at all. Now, you're thinking to yourself, why does that matter? It's because it's casual dehumanization from literally the highest source of power in the U.S., from the bully pulpit of the president of the United States. And he's focusing, one, on basically conflating Hamas and specifically violent actions of Hamas with all of Palestinians. Millions of people who are living under occupation. And again, that's just casual Islamophobia that is actually being used as the Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister of Israel, the Israeli government, which is very right wing and, fun fact, also not very popular in Israel. Mm-hmm. Although you wouldn't know that in the US for reasons we'll talk about in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But as they are getting on TV and in response to the attack saying, or said, I should say, that they're literally going to wipe out Gaza. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not being ambiguous about it. They have explicitly talked about and followed through with genocidal violence mm-hmm. in a place under occupation. Again, blocking off water, electricity. People have nowhere to go. Palestine is recognized as an open air prison yep. in the international community. So, yeah, and you can condemn the Hamas attack because it is horrific, but these people are announcing genocidal violence yeah. on TV, and people are saying, well, it's okay because Hamas attack. Did this. That is, like, we're watching a test of people's basic humanity, and we're watching a lot of people fail it.
Oh, so many.
Even though, again, we have the template, at least in my lifetime recently, of the war on terror to see how bad this can get. And it's hitting many of the same notes. Mm-hmm. I want to stop for a minute, though, because off camera we were talking. Ado, you mentioned something that was kind of interesting to me that, you know, you actually talked about this in class, like yeah. in school, because when I was going to school, it was like a passing mention, if that. But I'm very, as we talk about like how the misinformation spreads and specifically anti-Palestinian, Islamophobic, anti-Middle Eastern mm-hmm. sentiment and policies spread. Because for me, I'm thinking, well, people just are, one, they don't talk about this at all. And we live in the US where it's very, very internally focused. If mm-hmm. anything, we don't learn about anyone. But yeah, you said you actually learned about this in school. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I was telling this to Ambush yesterday. It was framed very interestingly. I had a teacher. His name is Mr. Fritz. White man, but good teacher. He was good at his job. And he framed it at the same time. He framed it as, these are things that we don't normally teach in class, but I put it in my unit because y'all need to know about it. And we learned about the about Israel and Palestine and their relationship. And then within the same unit, we learned about the Rwandan genocide. So it was framed very clearly how these things happen. Like, it was, he pretty much was just being like, and this is in 2015, let me make this clear. He was like, this could lead to a genocide in Palestine. And this is what has happened in genocides that aren't usually talked about. And like, this is why it could become a genocide. This is why he showed us a video explaining that like people in Palestine are constantly worried about being bombed, that they don't know when they're going to have food or water. This is happening in the Gaza Strip. Like, this is like, they don't know when food or water or where, when food or electricity could be cut off at any given point. They don't know when they could be bombed at any given point. Like, they're constantly on the move. They're constantly on edge. This is in 2015. We're pushing almost 10 years of me seeing this. And it's really interesting because like after that moment, it was kind of like I just kind of knew, like I just kind of knew it. Like, it was kind of like the conflict would be brought up, like, And again, Amber said this yesterday, so I apologize. I'm trying not to refer to it as a conflict because it is just gonna, like, it's genocide. So I get frustrated because I understand the tragedy. Obviously, we must understand the tragedy. But, like, when I am at age 15 learning that these people are already being killed, and then you're telling me that they are upset and then retaliate, bring themselves to finally retaliate in a way that, like, if we're being completely honest, like, I me and Ambush were talking about this yesterday. You're telling me Israel got snuck attacked. Israel?
Hmm?
With support from the U.S., like, this is a military that knows what they're doing, that is, like, well-funded, well-trusted, and they got snuck, like, that's a little bit fishy. That seems a bit fishy to me. Like, I come to this space, and again, this is giving my condolences to everyone who has passed, everyone who's been affected by this, because, like, none of this should be happening. But it's also very clear to me why the Palestinian people are upset enough to set off an attack. Because this has been happening again for 70 years.
Hmm. And even to that point, like, if people want to think about how a group like Hamas could come to power, is because if you cut off every other form of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You stamp out, like, all these progressive, because again, the funny part about this is you're talking about two conservative power entities, mm-hmm. in Israel, or the Israeli government, especially the Netanyahu government, and then Hamas. But if you stamp out, again, every other form of protest, every form of resistance, and conditions get increasingly dire under an occupation, like, this is kind of the natural thing that happens. Natural
progression.
Anywhere. I mean, I think about, there's the right of return march a couple years ago, I want to say, where, again, peaceful protests by Palestinians, and 214, including 46 children, were killed by the Israeli military during that protest. A peaceful protest.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that, again, like I said, bombings have been happening.
Yeah.
People just being shot,
mm-hmm.
for these protests. Children, like, people, even right now, because the other conversation is about Hamas holding hostages. Do you know what I mean? The people who the Israeli military detains Palestinians for no cause, like,
yeah,
those are also hostages.
Yes.
And guess what? Those numbers... It's a lot higher than 150.
Yes. So much higher.
It's, yeah, it's, because even, and you talk about just being more precise with the language, and sometimes I almost feel like I'm bending over backwards to express, like, sympathies, empathies, and, like, that I, you know, that obviously I don't support these now retracted claims of beheadings of children.
Yeah.
Because that's the political landscape we're in, where it's bad faith.
Yeah.
To be clear. But just to extend even, like, a modicum of the humanity not being extended the other way.
Yeah.
You do that. But it's again, the effects are real. The hypocrisy is, like, let's just call it what it is, because a lot of people, when we talk about spreading a misinformation, and I think offline we talked about how there's a lot of people who feel like they need to have a take on this because it's important, and they don't. Yeah. Like, it's okay if you actually don't know anything about Israel and Palestine. Like, you could learn.
Yeah,
that is actually an option. But you have people online posts like, oh man, religion, if we could just get rid of religion for a while. Like, what we're talking about, occupation, we're talking about ethnic cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Palestinian Christians. Yeah. A lot of Palestinian Jews. Like, it's weird. It is an anti-racism issue that we're talking about. This is fully
anti-racism.
And even just like the hypocrisies of it was you have Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, as you might be aware, her war with Russia, that's happening. Also, over occupation.
Yeah.
But who did he boldly come out in support of? If you guessed Israel,
ding ding,
because you were like white on white. Yes, yes, ding, that is exactly what happened.
Yes,
and of course, a lot of people who've since thrown up Ukraine flags in their bios, at their homes. I go jogging now, so I take stock of just like how many Ukraine flags are just randomly around, and it's interesting. But yeah, people with no self awareness whatsoever, who have like been loudly trumpeting, the Ukraine military and even like attacks on Russia that have killed civilians.
Yeah.
But are suddenly horrified and by Hamas, by any form of, again, Palestinian resistance, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what's different here? I can't tell.
Right.
But it's been revealing, I guess, to figure out, who the people around you are, who's in your community. The Democratic Party has done the party line. A lot of corporations have put out their statements. Everyone wants to make sure they say they stand with Israel. That's so even crazy. If the words "I stand with Israel" are used very clearly to support the Israeli military committing genocidal violence to give public support to that, but they're still doing it. Absolutely. LeBron James released a statement. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I did want to come back to, again, a moment in time that this reminded me of, because again, the war on terror, I got to see, in my developing stages as a teenager, how bad this can look in a very short time. And actually, for a project for an organization I work with, Respond to Racism Lake Oswego, I interviewed a classmate named Farbod. He's Persian, and we're in seventh grade at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get his take on just like how things changed over, basically after 9/11, as far as just especially like casual Islamophobia. So this is part of a larger project called Life After the Bubble, where I interview former students of color from Lake Oswego schools about their experiences, but also forms of resistance, the spaces for, marginalized communities that they built in the midst of that city. So we'll just be watching a clip, Farbo Gangafar. yikes on that one. But yeah, talking a little bit about life in Lake Oswego schools post
9/11. The thing that has always stuck in my memory as being like a very like defining theme of my experience through junior high and high school was the fact that 9/11 happened when we were in like seventh grade. It was like start of the school year, and then the Iraq war happening, and like just the onslaught of like sort of like vulgar media that teenagers really just like got like force fed at that time, whether it was like, I mean, just like the simple like hyper patriotism of Team America to like caricatures of like Middle Eastern people in like cartoons and media. A lot of that came back to like my experience of being like one of very, very, very few Middle Eastern kids at Lake Oswego High School. And just like, anytime something would happen in the news, and you'd get like a little spike of talk about the Middle East in any sense, was like something that I would hear about. And whether like it's, you know, the experience of like taunts and slurs from your classmates, or like being expected to be a expert or like a token spokesperson by your teachers, you know, it's like it's like, on the one hand, it's like, wait, am I supposed to be hated for this, or am I an expert on this? And like, and you're supposed to like respect me for it. And there's like a wild push and pull of that. And you know, like for me, I'm like, well, I grew up in Mountain Park. I'm born and raised here. What do I know about any of this to any of you? Just being like in a way, so totally confused as to how I would become like a face of that for some people. But that, you know, that really was like, you know, sure, it wasn't every day, but it's definitely, you know, it was one of those things where, like, looking back on it, it's like, oh yeah, I felt that a lot.
So one of the things, again, recording this October 12th, starting to see just from representatives of Muslim community organizations, Palestinian community organizations, starting to just tweets about calls they're getting, attention they're getting from the FBI, mm-hmm. potentially death threats that are coming in. And I think about this again as the rhetoric is ramping up, as the misinformation has been spread again from the highest perches of power.
Yep.
And all this trickles down, not just in policy, but again, everyday life for students.
Mm-hmm.
Like I talk about the Lake Oswego work. It's not known as a very diverse place, but you know what? Work with Palestinian students there too.
Yeah.
Like it, you can see it everywhere. I remember talking with a student about just like even being afraid to say that they are Palestinian. Like this is before all of this weekend, just mm-hmm. in general, because that's the atmosphere. So when you see some of this both sides rhetoric, which has come out, is very disturbing.
Very disturbing.
Not surprising.
Very familiar.
Right. Right. Also, yeah, I want to bring it back to the public statement industrial complex around this, because, and you know, Israel is a U.S. ally,
mm-hmm.
strategic partner.
Yep.
And you see a lot of politicians on both sides, Democratic, Republican parties, also a lot of businesses
mm-hmm.
who have just lined up, have made these, you know, I don't want to say thought out, because that's not the word I want to use, but carefully worded statements.
Yeah.
And Anna, did you have the LeBron statement?
I do. One second.
Because I thought that was a
perfect special one of what's going on.
Yeah.
LeBron James, NBA star.
You may have heard of him.
You may have heard of him. Made this statement on Instagram today.
The devastation in Israel is tragic and unacceptable. The murder and violence by Hamas is terrorism. The Spring Hill Company family sends our deepest condolences to Israel and the Jewish community. We pray for peace in the region and reiterate our continued commitment to fight hate in all of its forms. We must work to ensure this tragedy does not spread even more hate, racism, and anti-Semitism. Maverick Carter and LeBron James.
So
let's talk about it
again, just the casual dehumanization of Palestinians.
Yeah. I guess
the conflation of Israel with the entire, specifically with right wing Israel, but mm-hmm. with the entire Jewish community. We must ensure that we will not spread more hate, racism, and anti-Semitism.
Let's talk about it.
You kind of spread hate, racism by dehumanizing people and lending your power and position mm-hmm. in this statement to, again, the violence that is being committed in real time mm-hmm. by the Israeli government. It's not like he released this statement on Saturday.
No, this was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This was yesterday.
You know, at that point, I think, was it 1,200 Palestinians in Gaza were killed by the Israeli mm-hmm. military? Like, he had enough of a sample size to work with by that point.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just unpack some of the, again, the appeals to humanity here. Because, so, for example, we've been talking about hostages.
Yeah.
And there was a thing out saying that Hamas was threatening to kill a hostage every time that the Israeli government bombs Gaza without warning.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. Let's just say there's something to the fact that the Israeli government is so gung-ho, no pun intended, about carpet bombing Gaza mm-hmm. in the West Bank, even with something like that out there. Because let's say that's substantiated. If you care about your hostages at all, why would you just be, again,
willy-nilly
carpet bombing Gaza, right. literally?
That's
they've made it clear in their statements. They've been unambiguous about the fact that this is what they want to do. And what's funny, not funny, notice the theme here, is that the discourse in the U.S. is arguably more Zionist than in Israel.
That's wild.
At least a lot of parts, like obviously the settlers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another part of this situation we should probably talk about as far as just, Israeli settlers illegally occupying and taking up more of Palestinian land, like literally, again, ethnic cleansing, like taking land from people that is, never mind the spaces that have already been carved out in Gaza and the West Bank, but encroaching on what little space people have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's also a part of this. But anyways, so again, they've been marching against Netanyahu in the streets. Mm-hmm. It's not a popular government. Also, he's on trial for corruption. Like this is not a popular president. Their one of their main newspapers, Haaretz, has been publishing article after article, editorial after editorial, denouncing Netanyahu, pointing out, I think accurately, that him being in power is a danger to everyone involved because, again, we have empirical evidence that it is clearly a danger to everyone involved.
Yeah.
Yet in the U.S., the Israeli lobbying, the Israeli government, right-wing government lobbying is so effective that you have just the normalization, that the fact that people will not even... don't even think twice about all these statements that do not recognize Palestinians as human beings. The bare minimum.
The bare minimum.
And I do have some insight to how this happens. Because, again, lobbying power at the largest level in Washington with AIPAC, the American-Israeli... sorry, I'm losing acronyms here because genocide. So excuse me. American Israel Public Affairs Committee. So major lobbying group have politician after politician after politician in their pocket. So if you see statements from someone like, say, Richie Torres, who was denouncing the only Palestinian American legislature in Washington and Congress, Rashida Tlaib, for condemning violence and calling for an end to occupation for peace. A fairly, not even a super forceful statement, but going out of his way to condemn her. He's on the AIPAC payroll.
There we go.
Otherwise, if you see people making no statement at all, such as the Democratic House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, in AIPAC pockets. But even here,
oh, that's so funny,
because you've seen statements from people like Ron Wyden, who's good on a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Not this one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Oregon Democratic Party is very much the same thing. And how does that happen? Well, again, lobbying. So yeah. I think about a group like Jewish Federation of the Greater Northwest, because I've had personal contact with them. I mentioned Respond to Racism earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to do more social media for the organization. And I like to also, in addition to posting about local issues in the community and the state, also go national and international to, you know, talk about how racism works throughout the world, to educate people, because all these things are connected. And Palestine is a big, big issue, big yep. part of that. In fact, Black and Palestinian solidarity is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't talk about this a lot. I mean, we definitely didn't talk about it in school while I was there. But you think about people like Malcolm X, think about the Black Panthers, think about Angela Davis,
mm-hmm.
To name just a few out of many, but there's been a long history of solidarity between Black and Palestinian organizers for decades. And I don't think it's a coincidence then that you see especially Black public figures who are being kind of like targeted, being kind of put in this position to make these I stand with Israel statements, whether it's LeBron,
yep.
whether it's, you know, I don't consider Floyd Mayweather to be a very political person, but same thing. The Congressional Black Caucus, mm-hmm. that was a disappointing one. Mm-hmm. Again, not surprising though. And you see these, again, this pressure, even against anyone who does. I mentioned Angela Davis earlier. Yeah. So back in 2019, Angela Davis was going to be presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award by the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. She's from Birmingham, mind mm-hmm. you. You know, one of the most renowned social critics, activists in the world, in the country. And she was going to be awarded, again, a Lifetime Achievement Award. And it was then rescinded because of her support of Palestine.
Crazy. And that, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, they did that, and eventually they faced some backlash because, again, how are you going to, if Angela Davis isn't qualified for this.
Who is?
Yeah, exactly.
Who?
But that their justification was she, quote, does not meet all criteria that, quote unquote, concerned individuals asked it to reconsider. Concerned individuals being. Let me see here. So I make sure that I name the right organization. Because it was, an Israeli lobbying group in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see where. Not finding it in this article, so we might have to get that later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and there's been other examples. Mark Lamont Hill was famously fired from CNN for supporting Palestine. It is.
Seems to be a trend.
Yeah. So anyways, when I was with Respond and posting about Palestine, we got a whole dossier from the Jewish Federation that includes social media posts about Palestinians, about the violence mm-hmm. against Palestinians by the occupying Israeli military. In some cases, stories about Palestinians that don't even include Israel. For example, one post that they flagged was about a Palestinian student who had been denied entry to Harvard and had his visa revoked. And in this thing that they flagged here, Yeah. It's not even a mention of Israel, but I guess just the mention. The mention of Palestinians representing their humanity was too much. So they made this dossier, they distributed it to all our leadership, as well as representatives from the Lake Oswego School District, local city officials, the state senator in the area, and clearly trying to pressure us to stop posting about Palestine and accusing my post of being anti-Semitic. This is a tactic.
This is a tactic, yo.
And as you can see with, again, elected officials, with corporations, because when I see a LeBron James statement, LeBron is a corporation. Let's be clear.
Yes, very clearly.
Similar to how he had some curious comments about China a few years ago. It got into hot water about that. That's what you can kind of expect from there. So I set the bar really low. But there is a full-scale propaganda campaign. That might be the best word to do.
Huge propaganda campaign.
And it's so simple, just in humanity. Like I could sit here and tell people and give people some tools on how to fact check, do research, you know, just to make sure they're putting accurate information out there. But let's be real for a second. If you're willing to believe some of these things, just if you're Joe Biden and you're willing to believe this evidence of the beheadings of children without seeing it so much that you can claim you saw it, that's racist.
Yeah. Like, that's just racism in its finest form.
That's all it is. If you're a statement about all the hundreds of dead Israelis, but don't even think to question why Palestinians are not mentioned, if you're willing to listen to these statements conflating Palestinians with Hamas,
right?
Like,
this is racism.
Yeah, you're just showing that you're letting the racism out. You're letting your white supremacy show for people. It's an exercise in confirmation bias.
There you go.
If you were willing to, you know, ride with resistance in Ukraine, violent resistance in Ukraine, but suddenly
this anything, resistance.
Yeah. Just anything in Palestine, like these are monsters. These are, because we've been, the word, we talked about this again offline, where you're willing to think of all Palestinians as terrorists.
Yeah.
Conflate Palestinians as like an entity of people with terrorists, which again is very it's reminiscent of War on Terror.
Again, it's fearful. Like, this might be, I would be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if we start getting some Islamophobia back in full effect, because it's just like, oh, brown people, terrorism. Oh, that's our favorite combo. That is our favorite combo.
Love it. We love it. An excuse. Oh,
an excuse
to be as racist as you want to be. Americans, we love to do it. And yeah, like you said, I'm worried for a lot of people, but I just keep coming back to students where,
absolutely,
again, before, you have a lot Palestinian Americans who cannot even like say who they are in schools already.
Like culturally, this is, again, like it's really sad, because I think a lot of people are mistaking. They don't see that this isn't an anti-Semitism issue. As you said, there are Palestinians who are Jewish. There are Israelis who are non-Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
My friends, this is not an issue that has to do with anti-Semitism, Judaism. Like, this is not that. For in this case, this is not that. This is literally people fighting for land and frustrated because they are being killed, being pushed out of land. And again, I understand where a lot of people are getting this understanding. It makes sense. They want it to be this way. But simply, like, Palestinians are being genocided for living where they live. And it is, that is it. That is what it has been. That is what it will continue to be. Unless something changes, but it's not looking good.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham literally said, quote, level the place.
There we go.
Like,
there you go.
We are, again, you don't have to condone the actions of Hamas.
No, we're not doing that.
But you have one side who is being unambiguous about calling for genocidal violence.
Right. Right.
Like, it's not, we know what it is right now. Even like LeBron isn't ignorant.
No.
And that's what makes that statement so much more disappointing.
He should know. He does know.
Especially this deep, this many casualties into this latest round of violence. Mm-hmm. Like, we look back with the war on terror and like Barbara Lee, for example, who was like the lone dissenting vote against invading Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And in hindsight, we're like, God, she was right.
She was right.
You know, one of the things that got Obama over the edge with Hillary was that he had voted against the Iraq war and using that in the campaign.
Yeah.
So what are we doing right now? Is it just a little trigger came for that white supremacy?
Right.
/ you know, we never actually changed, but there are so many indicators from all the misinformation that's happened to be walked back, from the death tolls.
Yeah.
From the occupation, the fact that, again, it's weird as far as like a media bubble that the US is, even though it's such a, you know, exporter of media throughout the world, that, you know, the occupation is recognized by the UN. It's condemned by the UN.
Yes.
It's not a fringe issue. It's known throughout the world. It is the Netanyahu government, I can't emphasize enough, is not a popular government.
Mm-hmm.
They can claim to speak for all of the Jewish people, but anyone who's out in the world and talks to people knows better.
Right.
Like, you know, even just talking with, you know, left wing or, you know, progressive, even not just liberal Jewish friends would be some of the loudest voices on like what's happening to Palestine.
Yeah.
But they're getting drowned out by Netanyahu trying to make a push for genocidal violence. And the one thing, the gift, I guess, that was given to him from the Hamas attack,
yeah,
was the ability to carry it out. And we're here now again. This is October 12th, 2023,
mm-hmm,
that we're recording this. I hope, I'm kind of hoping for a miracle.
Agreed.
That things are not going to get as worse or even worse than I can imagine that they probably will by the time this video goes up.
Yeah. But
the one thing we can do on an individual level is stop spreading misinformation, actually educate people. Do not stop talking about the occupation. Do not stop.
Absolutely.
Make it very clear that the context of the apartheid that is happening in Palestine cannot be removed from this conversation.
Absolutely.
And we can just have a little bit of a foresight and empathy to not spread the casual Islamophobia you know, specific anti-Palestinian, anti-Palestinian American sentiments that are surely coming from this.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's a lot. Also, we could divest. We could vote for senators, vote for congresspeople, vote for elected officials who are willing to vote to divest from giving the millions and millions and millions of dollars of military aid that we do give to the Israeli government to facilitate this occupation.
Yeah, we could do that as well. Absolutely.
We could. That is a thing.
100% an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been the Bruce Poinsett Show. Again, you can catch us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Numbers FM 96.7, or you can catch clips on youtube.com/Bruce Poinsett. If you want access to exclusive bonus coverage, you can go to patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett, and make sure to follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheNumbersFM. That's numbers with a Z, or on the Numbers Podcast Network on all podcasting platforms, or thenumberspodcast.com. Again, that's numbers with a C.